Triple M's.
Oh!
The Aussies have already earned the urn, but there's still a bloody test to play at the Oval, and the Triple M Cricket Fan Podcast is here to take you through a preview of it. I'm your host, Rudy Edsel. I'm joined by Ethan Meldrum.
How good's lead in the Ashes?
It's pretty good.
It's pretty damn good.
George Porter.
Hello, guys. Thank you. Back again.
And, of course, our resident pom, the very much Ashesless, Matt Bellotti.
How bad's cricket?
Oh, it's disagree. Disagree. Big fan. So the urns, the destination of the urn is already decided. It's 2-1 to Australia. The Aussie boys in the room, Ports, Heater. Ethel, I'll start with you. Would you be happy with a 2-2 result?
No.
George?
Absolutely not.
No.
No. So you both want to win, or at least
draw
this one? Grind
him into the ground.
Really hurt him.
Really make him feel it.
See, what I'd like to see is Australia win the toss and then just say to Steve Smith, just bat as long as you want. Just
get that
bat
record
as long as you want. We know you love batting. And
400, please.
Yeah, go for it. See if you can beat Lara's record there. I think they could possibly do it.
What, 12,000 runs?
yeah. Probably. So the Aussies, we'll start with the Aussies picking up their squad and stuff. Lewarner's going to keep his spot.
Yeah, seems it. I mean, you've still got a test average of 46.
Yeah.
I think you got to stick with him.
And
now,
it's not
now
like
that it's done and dusted, I think the best option for us would be to play our most likely team for November.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
And Warner
is clearly in that. Yep.
Yeah. Look, his test average is higher than I think conceivably Marcus Harris or Usman Khawaja or Cameron Bancroft could average opening the batting.
Yeah.
So it's a no-brainer.
But yep, that's just contradicted what you just said, because you said you want to win this test. Surely you pick your best 11, and Warner is not in your best 11 on form at this moment in time.
I think it's pretty clear we can win this test even if Warner makes two ducks. We won the last test by 185, and he made
without
two ducks.
Without his contribution, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, every time David Warner has made a pair, Australia has secured the Ashes. Yes,
very good.
Don't you forget.
Now, so let's
go secure
that's
the Ashes.
Why we've got you here.
Another pair, and they just give us the 2021 Ashes. I think that's how it goes, mate. So how will they move the bowling around? You'd imagine that Pat Cummins would say to them, absolutely do not rest me.
Surely it's on his terms, I reckon.
I'd have thought so, yeah.
I don't think any selector could conceivably look at Pat Cummins and say, look, maybe we're going to give you a test off. Like, for someone who's been injured for so long and someone who's bowling as well as he is, I don't see it could be anything but his decision if he wants to play.
Yep, I tend to agree with that. What will happen around the rest of the bowls, do you think?
Who knows? Michael Neeson might get a gig for all we know.
Yeah,
poor bloke.
It's hard to imagine them dropping Hazelwood, given he has been so good. But then also Mitch Stark has only played the one test and not really done too much wrong, except actually maybe waste the new ball at least two or three times. I don't know. I'm not sure exactly what they'll do. I think they might bring in Mitchy Marsh to bat six and just, you know, take
share
a bit
load.
Of... Yeah, share the load a bit. I think that's likely.
Is that a bit harsh on Pato? Do you reckon?
Yeah, maybe.
Harsh on Pato, harsh on Sids, you'd have thought, really.
I mean,
there's a guy that would be very, very useful, especially on a... Presumably, the Oval pitch will be reasonably flat. Should play reasonably well. You would think Siddle would do a fantastic job in those kind of situations. It's the sort of bowler you really want at the Oval.
Well, incidentally, I was at the Oval Test match in 2015 where Sids picked up, I think it was 6 or 7 wickets in a game that Australia won by... We absolutely monstered England. It could have been by
we won pretty... Every game in that series was won comfortably by one side or the other.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We talk about whether or not this Ashes will be a good series and reflected upon, but that one, everyone belted everybody. So.
Yeah, that was one of the as far
and
as...
innings and 46 runs.
Yeah.
So there you go.
As far as standard of cricket goes, I think that was one of the worst Ashes I've watched in my lifetime, 2015. England is the more interesting one. They've named the same squad again, and... that has befuddled us, but Bellotti, what do you make of it?
Look, we mentioned this on the wrap and as we looked ahead, and I said, knowing England, they're the sort of team that will pick the same squad. And the reason being is that I genuinely think that the England cricket setup believe that this has been a close series. And I think this is in their mind think, well, you know what, if we could just have got that win at Lord's, or if we, you know, we nearly hung on, we were half an hour from hanging on at Old Trafford. So, you know, there's no reason to really change things. And that is bizarre logic that couldn't be further from the truth. This is a team with glaring holes, obvious flaws, weaknesses from top to bottom. Not a single area of this team has operated how it should have operated. And there were blokes waiting in the wings. You've got Ollie Pope averaging 61 in county cricket. He's in the highest top 10 averages in county cricket history. And we're instead saying, oh no, we'll stick with Jason Roy.
Is he young, Ollie? Can you give us a bit of context?
Yeah, look, he's just a young middle order bat that you'd say is there. There's a guy called Dom Sibley we've mentioned a couple of times in the pod. He's an opener.
Past, so
there
might past, be some 1,000 county runs overnight.
Past 1,000 runs. You know, and that's a good benchmark, a really good benchmark. And not a lot of players are doing that these days because, as we know, in England, it's a little bit difficult to bat. If you're making runs in England and you're an English batsman, you should be in a sniff of the test. And they're saying at the moment it's a closed shop. The only thing I can think is that they're trying to just contain the Armageddon that's happening within the team at the moment. And they're saying that as at the end of this series, we get rid of the coach. We don't need to send in some of these young guys to learn from this thing that isn't functioning. But I don't even think it's that. I think they think that they've got a good test side here and that maybe there'll be a result out of it. But it's absolutely illogical. And I think I'm more confused than any of you about the fact that we're treating this series in a selection basis as if we're having a good series.
So you get bundled out in the World Cup 2015 by Bangladesh, and you don't make the quarters. And it was at that point where England go, right, we're going to throw everything out that we've done previously, we're going to focus everything on white ball cricket, and we're going to make our goal the next World Cup. You drew it, well done. Now it seems like...
Thank you. We got the trophy.
Surely this now seems like an opportunity for you guys to go, right, we've just lost the Ashes at home, which hasn't happened for since 2001, 18 years or whatever it was. Now this seems like a perfect time to go, all right, now time to refresh. Let's start again. Let's have a look at Ollie Pope. Let's have a look at Dom Sibley and see what we can do from here. To keep Jason Roy, who's by no means a test player, to keep people in the team like maybe Joss Butler, who's played 35 tests now for 100. He's not keeping. Who is your best keeper?
Ben Foulkes, who's been the best keeper for 2 years, isn't getting picked, even though he averages 40 with the bat. You're absolutely correct. There's no defence of it. The only thing is you'd say, what's the definition of now? Is it literally now here today in the fifth test, or is it now at the end of this series?
Yeah.
And I assume that all the changes we're talking about, which seem reasonably logical, certainly worth, are ones that will be made for England going on tour to New Zealand and then South Africa. And they're just saying, you know what? We've picked a squad for this series. We think we've got belief that they can play. All of them have shown some signs of not being utterly inept at moments. By and large, they've been a failure, but I guess they're just saying, one more try, let's keep the band together for one more tour. It's bizarre.
Especially in the situation now, Australia and England are not only playing in an Ashes, they're playing in a World Test Championship. Every single test counts, including this last one. It's already been lost. But if they draw a 2-2, then England get more points.
Yes, completely.
Why are they not trying to win this fifth test? Why are they sticking with a Jason Roy who we know isn't going to be part of, you know, England's test cricket future beyond this series anyway? Why would you not give an Ollie Pope a run who probably can make a 50 or make a 100 or whatever, win you a test, draw the series 2-2, and possibly get you into a World Test Championship final in a couple of years?
You're absolutely correct. Ollie Pope is in not dissimilar form domestically to what Marnus Labuschagne was in the same court tournament when he was picked, and look how well that went. And again, there's no answer to what you're saying. It's completely illogical, and which only leads me to believe, and that's the reason I believe, that the England cricket setup believe that this is the best team that England have.
Quite remarkable.
Which is the most worrying thing.
If they watched a minute of cricket this summer?
They're just thinking of Headingley. That's it.
We won a test. Oh, hey, everyone, we won a test. We could absolutely win another test, even though it was the most unusual, unexpected win in the history of test cricket.
Just about, yeah.
Yep. It kind of reminds me, before we move on, of when South Africa belted us down in Hobart and our selectors go, right, this isn't the team to lead us forward.
Yeah.
And that was, at that time, the Adelaide test was next. We went with Renshaw, Hanscom and Maddison. Now, you could argue that time will tell whether that worked.
Usman Khawaja made a brilliant ton across the
days. It was at that point when Australia went, okay, this team isn't what's going to take us forward. We'll try it with these three guys. You could argue that maybe those three didn't work, but at least we gave it a go and thought, right, let's move on from this team. And this is an opportunity that I think England have probably missed.
At the time, Hanscom looked like a future Australian captain, but he got his... he was unpicked, really, picked apart by Jimmy Henderson.
Correct.
In Ashes that we
won. He got figured out.
Yeah. big time. There is a bit of a discussion that it seems like Ben Stokes will not be okay to bowl. But it's likely to be a bowler in for probably, I assume, Jason Roy.
Yeah, you'd assume Roy. It might be a battle of best, but most likely Roy, that Sam Curran would come in. I've been bigging him up for pretty much the whole series, so we'll find out whether that's a
probably do a siddle and come in and take a bag of wickets buy an innings in 40 runs.
It does lengthen the tail a little bit in theory, but obviously if we're taking out Jason Roy, that 100% improves any batting lineup, really. Even if you are putting in a bowler for him.
Or Butler or Besto or...
Yep.
Do you think Stanley or Root or
can
Wokes come back? Do you think?
Maybe. I'm not sure. I don't know what. I didn't know what he did wrong to get dropped. I don't know what he would have done right to come back. you'd be in no uncertain mindset if you were Sam Curran. If you were Curran and you watch Wokes come back in, you go, oh, they just don't like me.
Yep.
Fair enough. Can England even bounce back, really, at the end of the day? Like, this Australia side is much, much better than them.
Yeah. It'd be tough, wouldn't it? So much has to go right for them. They needed a miracle Ben Stokes innings to win one test. They need something from a Joe Root. They need, you know, Jofra Archer back at his best. You know, Stuart Broad's been bowling well, but
Stuart Broad's had one of the best series I've ever seen him play.
Yeah, he's been phenomenal.
He would be,
but 19 wickets at 26 is a very decent return.
But they need to string all this together at once.
Yeah. I agree. It's hard to see it happening, isn't it?
Yeah.
Really? Like, all of it.
A 2-2 scoreline for them would seem so much better than just a 2-1.
They probably need, the only way I can see them winning a test is almost the same thing as Headingley, where Australia really put the game, get the game moving way too quick, and then effectively they have to do another, fourth innings chase that they can envisage as a one-day total.
The other thing about Headingley, which is worth noting actually in the context, and you're correct to say that Australia are leagues ahead of England performing wise. Australia have won 3 out of 4 tosses, which means that they've been able to dictate the terms of the game from the start, which they've been able to do and done really, really successfully. Mm-hmm. Headingley, as an example, as the exception, was where England won the toss, and at the Oval, if it is a good batting deck, as the Oval usually is, and then it collapses. If England win the toss, which statistically they probably should do, if you take averages and then have a good bat and put on a decent total in the first innings, and then it does deteriorate to the point where you're able to set even 150, 180 in the final innings, it's not impossible to see an England win in those scenarios. That's the positive view. The negative view is that this England team are an absolute shambles, and they are in no way suitable. And standing in this room with lots of Australians for weeks on end and having to look at a miserable team underperforming and being devalued embarrassing themselves on the pitch and the fans off the pitch is an absolute disgrace. So it would be nice to just see them go out there and have some degree of dignity.
You've gone full bowler with a run-up back at the fence.
I haven't even started. I look at this and I look at the unchanged squad that makes you just despair at English cricket. You then have to deal with, as an Englishman, things like Prime Minister Boris Johnson. You have to deal with Brexit. You have to deal with losing the Ashes. Dealing with Sir Geoffrey Boycott now.
Sir Geoffrey Boycott.
You've got the weather that we have to deal with on a daily basis. You deal with grown men taking their children to the cricket all dressed up with fake skull caps and glasses and false teeth mocking our own bowler.
That was pretty good.
I come from a shit country. Don't I? Is that actually, what's happening with England and the UK that this is just allowed to go on? Can somebody send help?
Jeff Boycott, what has he been knighted for? Is it services to being from Yorkshire?
For being an absolute arse. Because he's done that better than everybody. And a really nasty bit of work as well, actually.
He's not a good guy.
He's not a nice bloke.
That historical conviction for domestic assault, when he had that question put to him in response, he said, "Don't you think it's sort of, you know, it's not a great look for you to be given a knighthood?" He said, "I don't give a toss, dear," to the female reporter.
So, yep, no, he's shocking. And
certainly not a knighthood for respecting women.
Theresa May's favourite sportsman, which says everything you need to know about her, if that's the case. So anyway, let's not do politics. Crikey,
that's a black mark, isn't it?
Speaking of taking the piss out of one of you England's own bowlers, I am enjoying the Aussies pretending that Steve Smith was taking the piss out of Chris Rogers and not Jack Leach.
Yeah, of course you are.
He's there, left-handed shadow batting with glasses on. And they're like, no, that was Chris Rogers. No. Yeah.
He's the classic bucker all of our jokes. Yeah.
Because what you're thinking about is when you've won the Ashes for the first time in 18 years is an Australian opening batsman from 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Quickly run down the list of Australian left-hand batsmen with glasses.
starts
Rogers.
Start more or less starts and ends at Rogers. Yeah, that Rogers Chris. That is all. And on the subject of Steve Smith, how many runs are we backing him to make? What's your over under, Heater? You're a big stats guy. You've got all these spreadsheets. What would you put money on? What's a fair line? What's $1.90 to $1.90?
99.5.
So literally, Bradman.
He genuinely has top scored for Australia in every innings he's batted.
Yeah,
at Test level,
remarkable. In fact, I think in both of Australia's wins, he's put on both top scores. Like, he's put on the top, you know, one and two for the entire test in both.
Jesus.
I'm pretty confident. I'd need to double-check that, but I'd be surprised.
He's 5 from 5.
Yeah.
Like, what's $3 to the power of 5? That's $273. If you put $1 on Steve Smith to be top bat every single innings he batted.
Yeah, right.
You'd have $273.
I wish I'd done that. Yeah.
How good's gambling in hindsight?
Gamble responsibly.
Gambling in hindsight responsibly.
Last time Steve Smith played in that 2015 test, 143 he made. Mm.
And the time before that at the Oval was his very first test ton.
138.
Yeah, he made that 138. Got the straight six, if I remember.
You're not cheering me up, guys.
I don't care. That's not the point.
How good is bringing in like a young, talented cricketer for the future in a fifth test when the series is over? Yes.
Yeah, there's the reference. Crikey. Right.
Yeah, unchanged 13. Just
Rory
before
Burns,
we, before
Jason
we wrap
Roy.
Up, we made a big deal in the wrap-up pod of asking, you know, what would you prefer to win, the Ashes or the World Cup? So we put it out to the fans out there. On Facebook, we had the Ashes had 844 reactions to the World Cup, 38. So that's pretty comprehensive. Heater, what's that
it's
in percentage?
It's 96, I think.
Yeah.
close to 100.
Yep. And then on Instagram, it was 85% voted for the Ashes and 15% for the World Cup. So there you go. You can't even console yourself with your maiden World Cup, which
they're all wrong. As are you. We won the World Cup very comfortably. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
very
how many
nice.
Phones and do you have to get that?
Like
I said. Your son's phone, your daughter's phone, your phone.
No. It's always wonderful to know what the audience say. As I said the other day, it's very difficult for Australians that are used to winning things and having lots of trophies and being quite successful at sports to understand just what it's like to have a shit team to
doesn't that mean we have the most clear-eyed assessment of what it means to win things? We've won so many Ashes and so many World Cups.
Wouldn't have thought so. We've won none, so that's why it's very special. But, it's like the first time you do something is much more special.
Sure, right.
So there you go.
Yeah,
as is the fifth time.
Definitely.
Is the 25th time.
Yeah, it was pretty sweet. The third, I think, which is your favourite World Cup?
Oh, no.
The third one in 2007?
I mean, there's a few in the
mix. We won a World Cup with Sean Tate. I'm pretty sure at one point.
Xavier Doherty is a World Cup winning
Adam Gilchrist
spinner.
With the squash ball in his gloves. Good times. I really like Ricky Ponting's innings in 2003. That was pretty special. Mm-hmm.
You haven't even let me have time to have a go at Nathan Lyon in this part.
Nathan Lyon. I'm not worried about Nathan Lyon. He'll come out. He'll take 10.
Ashes winning spinner, Nathan Lyon.
That's right.
And Ashes winning spinner, Marnus Labuschagne.
Not for anybody. Yeah, more worried
by him. Ashes winning spinner, Jack Leach.
More worried by him.
He did make a really good one not out, though, once, Jack Leach.
Is it Dan Liebke on Twitter who pointed out that you can't spell Marnus Labuschagne without Ashes?
Now, that's good. That's good content. I think we're sort of getting lost in the weeds a little bit, though. So what do you reckon, guys? What do you think will happen at the end of the test?
I don't think my mood will have improved any in 5 days' time. I think that unless England win the toss, it could be over very rapidly. I think Australia on such a rise at the moment. You know exactly how to get this England team out. You've run through us. I think you'll do so again, and we could be in a very one-sided competition.
Only bloke they look like they don't have a plan to is Jack Leach.
But he got teeth promoted. And he's above Stuart Broad now, which you did mention the other day. But he earned that.
He did. Mm. More that Stuart Broad dis-earned it. Heater?
After day 5, Australia to sit 2 for 1,700 after being 1 for none.
Yeah.
Thanks to David Warner.
Warner, first ball duck. Steve Smith, 950. Not
becomes the first person ever to make 4 figures in an innings at international level.
George?
I hope I'm not treading on your toes here, Blotz. I have the weather, if you're interested.
Please.
24, 21, 22, 26, 24. So we will have a result.
Yeah.
It'll be Australia. I'm backing Steve Smith in again. And I think probably we might go in unchanged. I'd like to see the same team again. Pat Cummins deserves this spot, and I think he should continue to try and push toward 30 wickets this series, which would be a great return for him.
I agree. That's all we have time for today. We'll see you tomorrow with a recap of day one's play.